I talked about next week, we're probably just going back to Matthew. Starting chapter 19. I was like, well, we talked about a lot of things through this whole, you know, online time and then, you know, meeting here. And next week, I think we're probably heading back to Matthew, starting chapter 19, verse 10 or 12 verses in there somewhere. This morning, though, I want to do one stab at it. I kind of alluded to it last week. I want to talk about this COVID-19 thing, and I'm going to direct it back to the Bible, and that's where we're going to park. I have tried to psych myself up to dial down, to just, I don't want anybody to think I'm getting after you or something. I want us to deal with the scripture, and I'm trying to psych myself up to dial down, because I just get ramped up when I'm up here. I just do, just on a regular week. And no promises, I might still, I don't know. So, but I have good intentions on that, so you can, whatever. Church, by this time, I don't know if you've noticed, it's like people's opinions are just all over the place with this whole COVID-19 thing, coronavirus. People are divided and all over the map. People are all over the map. This is certainly true. It's true in the world. It's true even in the church. It's true among Christians, not just out there, but I'm not talking like right here. It's like all over the country. All over the country, there is like great division. There's great unrest on a lot of issues, but I'm zeroing in on the whole corona thing this morning. So at one end, let's just talk about the lay of the land just very briefly. At one end, it's just all over the map. From, you know, there's parties that view this all as a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a political conspiracy. It is totally overblown. There's that kind of perspective. At the other end of the spectrum, at the other end, we have people that take it like really seriously, really seriously. And that's probably because of either one of two reasons. First reason might be this, because they've actually like known somebody infected by COVID-19. I mean, that'll like make you think. If you've actually known somebody that has been affected, like our own. And I'll give you just, I'm not giving like a whole list of things. Here's a short list. Our own Mary Ellen Hoover had it quite significantly and lived to tell the tale. Praise God. Praise God. So there's that. We have another church member who's, you know, we'll talk old and young. 40-something-year-old daughter who had it quite significantly. Not in the hospital, but said it was the sickest she has ever been in her life. And, you know, you can get it and not even know you had it. But this is, I'm just talking about this one individual. Had it badly, survived. Gone. It's okay. We also have a regular attender. Let's talk old and young again. We have a regular attender who lost his mom. COVID-19. I lost his mom. 3 months ago, we had a roofer set up to re-roof our rental. And of course, all the quarantine stuff broke and, you know, that got tabled. And just recently, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, the person was called at their house to see if they would, you know, we're in yellow phase, why don't you come out and re-roof? And his family said, well, the guy actually can't because that healthy 59-year-old roofer is dead from COVID-19. He got it. He died. Other people fare great. I don't get it. So people who have been impacted in some way, like that guy's family probably takes it more seriously than, say, other people in the world. So you have that kind of dynamic going on. Another dynamic, I think, as well, is somebody who might take it seriously if somebody takes the CDC seriously or the Harvard Global Health Institute, if they take that seriously, or, you know, somebody who doesn't want to. There's a lot of people with this perspective. I don't want to have it, not know I have it, be 35%, won't even spike a fever, won't even know, but I don't want to unwittingly give it to somebody else and they get it badly or worse, you know, or worse. It goes, you know, as worse, as bad as it can possibly be. All right, there's the extremes. And then you have the middle. Then you have the middle. And let me tell you, there's all kinds of various opinions in the middle as well. So church, listen, people are all over the map. People are absolutely all over the map on this. That's the lay of the land. That's the lay of the land. And add to this, and this is what makes it so hard. Add to this that this is, it's a super divided issue because, listen, we live in an internet age and everybody, and I'm going to dial it down, everybody and his brother, everybody and his brother has their own personal go-to authority. Everybody. It's not even like we have a common source. It's like everybody and his brother has their own personal go-to authority. So if you don't like your state's requirements or something, you can opt for Fox News on one end, CNN on the other, 1,000 or 2,000 YouTube videos, 1,000,000 Facebook posts, or 100 other news groups in between. You can pick whatever you want to validate whatever position you want to believe. That's how it is. That's the world we live in. And I think worse, what makes it worse is sometimes we're just adamant about our source and what we believe. We're adamant. And I think more humility would just help. Because sometimes we're adamant. Could they be wrong? Yep. Could you be wrong? Yep. But sometimes we're just adamant. We're adamant about the view we want to believe in. And church, this is wreaking havoc all over the country. And I'm talking like churches. The world, they're going to do what the world does, whatever. But I'm talking about the church. The church. This is wreaking havoc in churches like all over the country. We just had our AMEC meeting, the executive council meeting, and there's like 8 different pastors there. And I'm telling you, just here's our local group. It's wreaking havoc in churches all over the country. That's what's going on there. Everyone's got their story where it's like, you know, really a bone of contention in their churches. The Gospel Coalition, which I've enjoyed actually, and they're not settling anywhere, and I really appreciate their position. But they have written a bunch of articles. They've been writing like crazy over trying to put out the fires of contention in the Church of Jesus Christ, which I think is very admirable. They're just trying to put out the fires of contention among the people of God, because, and that shows you how big it is. I mean, it is tearing into churches all over the country. And we're talking Christians. And in many places, Christians are rebelling. I mean, like outright rebellion, fighting against each other, leaving their churches and stuff over state requirements, over things like masks, over, you know, COVID-19 and all that. So if you look at the non-Christian populace, if you look out in the world, you will notice it's a mess, right? Our country, our nation is so polarized, and it is absolutely ugly out in the world. And what's being written, what people are experiencing, is the same kind of stuff is happening in the church. It's like we're not all that different than the world around us. The same kind of thing is happening. So what's a church to do? What do we do? What do we do about this? How can we determine whose narrative is correct? There's 1,000,000 out there. How do we determine whose narrative is correct? and whose we ought to follow concerning this whole thing on COVID-19. Well, listen, if you want to talk science or something like that, if you want to talk science, I guess you could talk to Bill Stute. He's the only scientist I know at Indian Valley who actually, did this stuff for a living, invent medicines to cure diseases. I mean, that was actually his field. You can talk to him, Mr. Two Doctorate guy. You can talk to him, right? I don't know anything about any of that stuff, right? But if you want to, and maybe you should, because you can say anything online. You can say anything. You don't even have to use logic. You can just say anything online. How do you even evaluate the science? I don't know about you, but that is out of my wheelhouse. I can't do that. I don't know, maybe bounce something off Bill, something like that. But I'm not going to go there this morning. I'm not going to go there. I'm a pastor. I will always point back to the Bible. That's what we'll do here. That's what I'll do standing up here. I will always point back to the Bible. And I want to say this morning, this is where I'm going this morning. This is what I think. As a Christian, you cannot go wrong by obeying the biblical text. Ever. Even if the world kills you, you'll be right with God. You cannot go wrong by obeying the biblical text. And I think sometimes we miss it. I mean, the church at large in the world. And I want to point out, I got 4 points and they're short points. I don't have a big sermon this morning. I'm trying to be dialed down too, so nobody thinks I'm yelling or something like that. But listen, there's 4 things. I'm sorry, I'll end up getting ramped up because we're going to talk about the Bible now. Here's one thing I think that is often forgotten. Church, think about it. The Bible tells us to obey our government. I don't know why this is lost in the mix. It tells us to obey our government. Look at Romans 13:1. Some of you probably know this by heart. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, I want you to remember who these governing authorities are. These are not nice people. This is the pagan Roman government Paul's talking about. And this is what he says. He says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And if you don't like this verse, I mean, you can look at Titus 3:1. It's kind of funny because here's Paul writing to Titus. They've established churches at Crete and young churches, like church plants. They don't even have elders. He's supposed to appoint elders in churches so they can function as they're supposed to do. And in chapter 3:1, he says, oh, by the way, remind them to be submissive and to be obedient to the governing authorities. And he's talking about these same things, the lesser Roman authorities that govern the island of Crete and the big Roman authorities as well. And you might say, yeah, but Dean, is there not biblical exceptions to this stuff? Are there not exceptions to this rule that we should obey the government? And is there ever a time where we can validly before the living God disobey the government? Absolutely. Absolutely. Like when the government says, hey, guess what, guys? You can't talk about Jesus anymore. You know, you Christians, always talking about Jesus? Zip your lip, can't talk about Jesus anymore. If you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 29, that's the very thing that happened in Acts 5:29. And it says this, it says, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. That's civil disobedience right there, right? And it's approved. We must obey God rather than men. What if the government says Christianity is illegal? Never mind just talking about Jesus. Christianity, illegal. You can't meet ever. You can't even meet in your home. Have a church kind of thing. This happened in history before. It happened in history many times. Maybe it'll happen in the United States, whatever. What do we do then? I think the Bible's pretty clear. We must obey God rather than men. What if the government says, you're pregnant? You have to have an abortion. You have to kill your neighbor for something. Then we must obey God rather than man. But think about it, church. Think about the squabbles. For goodness sake, if the government says things like our state government is saying right now, you know, it's going off about the whole mask thing, wearing them during the pandemic and all that. You know what the Holy Scripture says? Be in subjection to the governing authorities. That's not an issue of we must obey God rather than man. It's an issue of we must be in subjection to the governing authorities. And you could say, well, what if they're wrong? What if they're wrong? What if it's just not as bad as what they happen to be saying? What if they're wrong? Well, think about it, church. Then it's egg on their face. But cross scripture as Christians, and you know what? It's egg on our face. Then it's egg. It's egg on our face, okay? And think about it. Right now, we're in the green light, supposedly Pennsylvania green light. So it's like, wow, people get to work. Like the crew that wasn't working, like my son, you know, the college job, stuff like that. They're all of a sudden they're working and so forth. We get to worship. And you can't go wrong by obeying the biblical text. You cannot go wrong by obeying the biblical text. And if you're on the far flung end, the other side, we ought to be. You might not like what we're doing here at Indian Valley, that the elders have said, you know, this is how we're going to do it. There's a lot of people. We said right up front, there's so many different views. We have the great potential of making nobody happy at all. But we have to come up with some kind of standard. So we have this thing where, you know, let's sit with the people you breathe with. You can take off your mask. Some of you should leave them on, you know. It depends on your view. Maybe you should leave them on. So, I'm not gonna go down there, right? But listen, that is according to the PA Family Institute. You say, well, we're not following the local governments. Yeah, we are. They said, if we can separate in the church, this is exactly what we can do here. It fits the rules. But think about it, church. If we even, I mean, this is going on in churches across the country. It's like even their local church has rules, and they go, well, I'm not doing that either. You know, forget you. I'm doing what I want because of whatever you're listening to, whatever you're reading, whatever. But church, think about it. It's a double whammy. Because not only does it disobey the government blatantly, but it even disobeys the local church, which according to Hebrews 13:17 says the leadership we function under, we're supposed to obey that too. We're supposed to obey that too. Listen, you cannot go wrong by obeying the biblical text. You can't go wrong by obeying the biblical text. Let me give you another one. Okay, point number two. I get smaller as I go, too, by the way. And I'm dialing down, trying to be, just settle down. So I'm not angry with anybody, but I want us to think about the text. How about this one? The Bible teaches us to relinquish our rights in order to serve others. Have you heard this? The Bible teaches us to relinquish our rights in order to serve others. If you've been at Indian Valley for a little while, you've heard this 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Let's look at a couple of texts here. Matthew 16:24. We preached a whole sermon on this. I've alluded to this before. It goes like this. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him, he must, what? Oh, he's got to deny himself. He's got to deny himself. Take up his cross, instrument of death. It's talking about denying yourself, dying to you, and follow me. Where's Jesus going? Do you remember in the context? He's going to the cross. He's going to lay aside himself for the sake of other people. And Jesus is saying, Christian, where to do this too? Where to do this too? How about this one? Mark 10:45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Again, Jesus, this is what he does. He gives up his rights. He gives up his rights. You're going to see a pattern in Scripture again and again. This will come up. Jesus gives up his rights. He gives up his rights. And we're to follow him too as Christians. We're to do this too. Not dig ourselves in the sand. We're to follow him as well. How about this one? Philippians 2:5-6. Philippians 2:5-6. It says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also, I must be King James I'm quoting here, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in you, Christian, in you. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his attitude? He let it go. He gave up. Look at what it says. Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, verses 7 and 8, but he emptied himself. You see, he's letting himself go. He lets himself go. He emptied himself, taking on the form, the Lord of glory takes on the form of a bondservant, a doulos, a slave, right, in that culture. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus sacrifices himself. The King of the kingdom, this is what he does for us. He sacrifices. He sacrifices. And where to do it to? Where to do it to? I alluded in one of the Wednesday words to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And the issue there in 1 Corinthians 8 is the issue of personal rights, of personal liberties. And we're talking like gray areas in the context there. Personal rights, personal liberties. And there's the debate going on in the Corinthian church. The debate was this. The weaker brothers and sisters, and they're not weaker like, you know, wimpy. It's like weaker in conscience. They didn't think they could do certain things in the faith. And they didn't think they could eat certain things. But the stronger people, the strong in conscience Christians, felt like they were free to eat whatever. I can eat whatever I want. And the Apostle Paul says that is absolutely fine on your own. Eat whatever you want. But the problem in that text was they were clinging to their personal rights in the church. They were clinging to their personal rights in the church and not really thinking about their brothers and sisters in Christ. They weren't thinking about them because they wouldn't release their rights at all. It's like, this is what I think, this is what I mean, and I'm standing. And if you look at the verse right before this, Paul says, when we do this, you know what we do? We sin against our brother, we sin against our sister, and we sin against Christ. And then the very next verse, verse 13, I want you to see this one here. Paul uses himself as an illustration, saying, this is how we should act. Let me show you myself, Paul says. He says, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Now, church, note here, note the same self-sacrificing stance. Note the same theme. It comes up in the New Testament again and again and again. Paul does not say, stick to your rights, flaunt your liberty, Hey, be out for you. You don't like it? Hey, leave your church. Leave your church in order to maintain what you want, your way. No, no, no. Paul says what Jesus says, and that is let yourself go. Let yourself go. The kingdom of God is more than such frivolous things. Let your preconceived personal rights go for the good of the body of Christ. Now, let me ask you, do you see how this might be like a little bit analogous to our like state's requirements that they're foisting this on us? They're making us, you know, wear masks, stuff like that. Do you see how this is kind of analogous to a situation like that? Oh, Indian Valley, listen, park on your personal rights. When we as people park on our personal rights, it almost always, and I want to say always, maybe there's an example I haven't thought of or something like that in the Bible, it's almost always precarious ground to stand on. Because there's so many texts of the Bible against it. So many. So many. It goes against the very example of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the articles I've enjoyed is Brian McCracken, Gospel Coalition. He wrote an article, a timely article called Church, Don't Let Coronavirus Divide You. And I was like, the title alone captured me. And the picture was great. Had like Christians on this side with masks and Christians on the other side without them, and they're all yelling at each other. Great picture. Church, don't let coronavirus divide you. And he says this, quote, he says, even if you think, I think it ties in with this theme here about letting our personal rights go. He says, even if you think those precautions, these precautions that the state is imposing on us, Even if you think that these precautions are needless, are a needless overreaction, can you not sacrifice your ideal for a season out of love for others who believe the precautions are necessary? I think that really sums up those letting ourselves go text. Those letting ourselves go, especially when it's mandated by our state government. That adds like another layer to it. Okay. Oh, church, the Bible teaches us to relinquish, Am I dialed down enough? I'm trying to be chill, right? To relinquish our rights, How about this one? This is an important part of loving your neighbor. We're talking this morning. This is a very important, key tenet in the Christian faith, to love your neighbor, to love your neighbor. And let me just, I don't know where to put this in, but I've, it's not all about fear, understand? A lot of people think, well, they're just, if, you know, you're into this kind of stuff and you're just afraid. You're afraid you don't trust God or something. But listen, that'd be like saying, well, if you, do you wear a seatbelt? Do you get vaccinated? Anybody of you men care to admit, do you have a vasectomy? Are there certain parts of Philadelphia that you avoid? Well, you must not trust God. Listen, in the Bible, there's a difference between trusting God and testing God. Testing, this is a huge difference. And sometimes sometimes we park somewhere and never, we don't see the whole picture. But think about it. In relation to love, the bigger issue of love, think about this by way of illustration. Do you remember years ago, if you've been around at Indian Valley for a while, Riley Gaiman a couple in the family have pretty significant allergies, but Riley had incredibly significant allergies, okay? They've gotten a little better through the years, but they were really, really bad. So you know what happened here? Certain foods were absolutely forbidden at Indian Valley. Well, I want to bring in my, well, you can leave it out there, right? Certain foods were strictly forbidden at Indian Valley because this girl, it's not only if she eats it, she would go into, you know, anaphylactic, all that stuff. But like if it was on the table here and it wasn't cleaned up properly and she touched it, she would go into that kind of reaction. So certain foods were strictly forbidden at Indian Valley. If you entered the kids program, it was like being on a cruise ship. I first got here, I was like, what in the world's going on here? Every kid, every teacher, everybody going into the kids zone, you got a wipe and you had to wipe down. If I remember, you even had to check off on the list. Yes, I wiped my mouth. I wiped my hands in order to go in the kids zone. 90% of the church, Penny tells me, 90% of the church went through a training session on all this. A whole slew of people learned how to use and when to use one of those epi pens and all that. Just think about it. Just so Riley could participate in the children's ministry. Well, she should just stay home. Think about it. Just so one little girl at the time, she's bigger now, but just so one kid could participate in the children's ministry. You know what that's called? It's called loving your neighbor. In a radical sense. In a pretty radical sense, it's loving your neighbor. It's loving your neighbor. Ken Brady wrote about this whole church mass thing and stuff like that. Because in his church is being ripped apart. And he said this. He said, my mask says I love you enough to inconvenience myself. I'd love that. I love you enough to inconvenience myself. But you can go, but I don't think it's a big deal. I think our state is out to lunch. I think others are out to lunch, whatever. But listen, love says, I love you enough to inconvenience myself, for the sake of other people. And think about it, really, how long a time is it? It's just for a little while. It's just a little while. I dare say 5 years from now, probably nobody will wear a mask. Maybe I will, I don't know. But it's going to pass. It is going to pass. Even countries that have had, who do this way more often, like China, they don't keep doing it. They wait for the next thing that comes along there. This will pass. It's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. Okay? But what about doing it just for a little while for the sake of other people? And again, what if the state's wrong? What if our government's wrong? But do you know that everyone is just trying to figure this out on the fly? It's like, you know, it's so easy with hindsight to just, you know, pot shot and critique everybody, criticize everybody. They're just trying to figure this out on the fly. Do they make blunders? Oh, I'm sure they do. Kind of like we do, you know. We make blunders and all that, and they're trying to figure it out on the fly. Could they be wrong? Yep. Could you be wrong? Yep. Yep. We could all be wrong. We should all have more humility and all that. But listen, you can't go wrong by following the biblical text. Who cares? All right, this stuff's going to park on the Bible. Park on the Bible. You can't go wrong by following the biblical text. And it's all very temporary. And in the bigger scheme of things, this is nothing at all. It's nothing at all. So we should give of ourselves. We should love our neighbor. Let me give you one more, and that is this. Think about your testimony for Jesus. Your testimony for Jesus. Imagine this. Imagine it is 2040. And you are telling, depending on your age, you're telling your child or your grandchild or your great-grandchild or an angel because you're in heaven, right? But think about it. You're telling them, let me tell you how I acted for Jesus in the great pandemic in the United States, a great pandemic of 2020. I stood for Jesus by what? By refusing to wear a mask, even though my state said that. By refusing to wear a mask, by resisting authority, by fighting, by being ticked like all the livelong day at everybody under the sun and trying to correct everybody else that doesn't have my opinion and all that, or by leaving my church. It's happening all over the nation. By leaving my church, or I'm going to stay and just make a ruckus in my church. Or do you think it sounds like a more biblical thing to say, I stood for Jesus by submitting to authority, by humbling myself, by not demanding my perceived rights with my church, with others, with my neighbor, by letting myself go? By letting myself go. What sounds more biblical? What sounds more biblical? Listen, church, you can go wrong. Can. You can go wrong by following YouTube. You realize that? You can go wrong by following YouTube, by following Facebook, by following politics, by following CNN, or Fox News, or yourself. You can go wrong, but you cannot go wrong as a Christian by following the biblical text. You can't. You can't go wrong by following the person and word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude with this. Ray Ortlund writes this, and it's about marriage. He says this, marriage is where, I love this quote, marriage is where two selfish me's, me. Marriage is where two selfish me's start learning to think like one unified us. I love that. If you don't do this, if a couple doesn't do this, go from the selfish me to the unified us, that will be a train wreck. Done. Or they'll stay together and it will be a train wreck of a marriage. It will not reflect Christ at all. You know what? The same dynamic is true in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you and I, none of us are exempt. If you and I don't shift somewhere along the way from a me perspective to a we perspective, you know what will happen? Eventually you or I, either one, will be a thorn in the flesh of our church. As it will be, because we made life about us. Or you just move on. You just move on and say, it's all their fault. It's all their fault. It's all their fault. Okay? But listen, if you make it less about you and more about the us perspective, you'll be a humble, useful servant in the hand of the Lord during this time and beyond. And beyond. Indian Valley, all these things, there's all these things out there. There's all these things. You can park wherever, you can park whatever. But listen, you can't go wrong by firmly parking on the word of the Lord. Take the principles of Scripture and apply it to the situation. You cannot go wrong by doing that. Because parking on Scripture, that's just a good place to park. A good place to park. And realize what I'm trying to do this morning is not pick out just a verse and say, okay, this fits my little nomenclature, what I think, and ignore other parts. Bring it together. Bring it together. The Bible has a lot to say and a lot of issues, including analogously issues like this. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I pray for your church, oh Father. Like I said at the end of the service, when anything comes up in the world, this is last week, when anything comes up in the world, there's two things that are going to happen. The enemy of our souls desires to tempt us. And in many places in the world, in the United States, man, he is doing a fantastic job in many, many churches. But also, Lord, when tough times come, you test us. How will we respond? Where do we park our car? Whose word will we follow? Help us, Lord. Help us to err on the side of love. Help us to err on the side of self-sacrifice. Help us to err on the side of obedience, humility. Maybe we just don't have it all figured out. Maybe they don't either. And if they don't, it'll all be corrected eventually here. And egg on their face. Maybe they won't get in office next time. Who knows? But, oh Lord, let us not come up short before you. Help us, each of us, not just everyone before me, but me too. Help us in our interactions. Oh Lord, we all need a whole bunch more of Jesus in us, because that old man, the flesh, so easily creeps back up. And we feel often fully justified in taking him up. Oh Lord, help us, I pray. Help your church to be different from the world that we see around us. A church that can't get along worth a hill of beans. I mean, a world that can't. A country that can't. May it be different among your people, oh Lord. May we truly be a counterculture. I pray in Jesus' name.